Shire, Radamadaguma. Vrindagajaya, Namacharya, Shri Vrindas, Thakur Gajaya, Premse Gaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sudvaita Ganadha Siya Dvaita Ganadha Shivasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Gajaya Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gaur Gurna Shayam Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govna Kijaya Vrinda Vrum Kijaya Majurana Kijaya Jagannath Sami Kijaya Namai Kijaya Shimani Lasade Some of the Vakta Vrinda, Gold Vrindananda, Hari Guru. All glories and simple devotees, all glories and simple devotees, all glories and simple devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Guranga Shirobhupad, Kijaya Namah, Vishnu Kadai, Krishna, Kristaya, Udle, Shimadipa, Vrindananda, Swami, Namani, Namaste, Saraswati Devi, Gauravani, Pachari, Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschacha Deja Tarane. So, can someone turn one of the lights on? Because the people on the internet can just see a shadow of me. So, you need something that shines on my face, you know, that light or some light. It's actually pretty important. That's good. Not that I want everyone to see me, but, you know, it's part of life. So, okay, so reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, Chapter 10, Text 11. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Suggesting something here. Deha Kim Ana Gatu song Nishekutur Tur Matur Eva Ja Matuhu Pitur Va Balanaha Kretur Adnehe Shunau Ape Deha kim mana dhatu song Nishiktur maktur eva cha Matu pitur va padhina Kretur akne shunopi va Deha kim manadatu swang Nishetur maturheva cha Matupitur vabhadina Returakne shunopiva Deha kim manadatu Nishitur matureva cha Matupitur vabhadina Priturakne shunopiva. Deha, this body, Kim Anadatuhu, does it belong to the employer who gives me the money to maintain it? Swam, or does it belong to me personally? Ishetuhu, or does it belong to the person who discharged the semen? Matuhu Eva, or does it belong to the mother who maintained this body within her womb? Cha, and Matu Pituva, or does it belong to the father of the mother? Because sometimes the father of the mother takes a grandson as an adopted son. Balinaha, or does it belong to the person who takes this body away by force? Kretu, or to the person who purchases the body as a slave? Agnehe, or to the fire? Because ultimately the body is burned. Shunaha, or to the dogs and vultures that ultimately eat it. Papi, even. Va, or. Translation, while alive, does this body belong to its employer, to the self, to the father, the mother, or the mother's father? Does it belong to the person who takes it away by force, to the slave master who purchases it, or to the sons who burn it in the fire? Or if the body is not burned, does it belong to the dogs that eat it? Among the many possible claimants, who is the rightful claimant? Not to ascertain this, but instead to maintain the body by sinful activities is not good. So there's no purport to this text. So I'm just going to read the next text since it doesn't have a purport, and it's pretty similar. Text 12. Evam zadaranam deham avyakta pravavapyayam kovitvan atmasatritva hunti jantun rite sitkha. This body, after all, is produced by the unmanifested nature and again annihilated and merged in the natural elements. Therefore, it is the common property of everyone. Under the circumstances, who but a rascal claims this property as his own and while maintaining it, commits such sinful activities as killing animals just to satisfy his whims? Unless one is a rascal, one cannot commit such sinful activities. And purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Atheists do not believe in the existence of the soul. Nonetheless, unless one is very cruel, why should one kill animals unnecessarily? The body is a manifestation of a combination of matter. In the beginning, it was nothing, but by a combination of matter, it has come into existence. Then again, when the combination is dismantled, the body will no longer exist. In the beginning, it was nothing, and in the end, it will be nothing. Why then should one commit sinful activities when it is manifested? It is not possible for anyone to do this unless he is rascal number one. Shoot, pretty heavy. So, Om Ganat Tumaranda Shak and Anjana Shlakaya Jakshur, Unmeditam Yena Tasmai Shi Gurave Namaha. Of course, obviously, we should make reference to the Isopanishad in this regard. Everybody knows that verse? Ishvasha Midam Sarva, anyone else on it? No one knows? Yeah. And translation? No, you can't look at your phone. The point is, Ishvasmidam Sarvam, I'm going to give a liberal translation. Sanskrit, word by word. Ishvasha means of the Isha, the supreme controller. Krishna's known as Ishwara or Isha, same thing. Idam Sarvam. Sarvam means all. Everything that exists is owned by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And everyone is given something to borrow, and Prabhupada translates that as a quota. Quota. Some people are given millions of dollars, other people are given 10 cents. But that's the quota. But it still belongs to God. Your 10 cents belongs to God, and your millions of dollars belongs to God. And so you shouldn't become envious because someone has a higher quota than you. Just like sometimes I think about very rich persons, like, anyone's heard of Elon Musk here? No. Yeah. One intelligent person here. So Elon Musk, I think, wow, billions of dollars, the richest man in the world. Wow, why not me? I would use it in Krishna's service. Krishna, send me billions of dollars, or at least let me preach to him. So, but that's his quota. And of course, how he uses it is up to him. And so, it's really important to understand it. But the quota is, or belongs to God. So, this is a really important point in dealing with even legalities in society. One thing that comes to mind, and I got to mention other things too, is that there's a big controversy, well, it's always a big controversy in America about abortion rights. You've heard of abortion before? Abortion means that the lady is pregnant and the doctor goes in and cuts the little baby to pieces and sucks the baby out, the pieces of the baby out. You know about this? You're studying medicine. With a vacuum cleaner. You know, anyway, it's like a suction device. And there's actually videos of it. So the argument used, it's my body. You know, the baby doesn't use that argument, obviously. It's my body. And I can do whatever I want. I mean, why is the government intruding on my body? Well, guess you can't do a lot of things with your body that are against the law. Not only abortion. I mean, you can't start killing people. Even if you try to commit suicide, they'll put you in a mental institution. You don't even have a right to commit suicide, to try to commit suicide. You can try. Don't try. Because you become a ghost. If you're successful, you become a ghost. Not a very good idea. So, you don't even, because the government has a right to protect you. The government has a right to tell you to wear a seatbelt. My body, or mask. Of course, that's all right. We won't report anyway right now. And it's too hot to wear a mask. It's just like, whew, I have a right to breathe. It's also right. So, you know, everybody has certain rights, but these rights are not absolute. You know, we have certain rights. Just like in America, we have this thing called the Bill of Rights, which gives you, you know, free speech. But that's not absolute. You know, I have free speech, and the typical example used when you're learning about these things in universities, but you don't have a right, if you're in a theater, to cry out fire when there's no fire. Right? And also, if you criticize another company and you're doing it with ill intention, you could be sued in court. The same thing here, I'm sure. So these rights are not absolute. And as far as our bodily rights, we should understand, you know, what's right, what's wrong. You know, we're talking about abortion right now. It's not our body. It belongs to Krishna. Because what right do you have to claim it's your body? Did you purchase it at Tuppo's? Did you go there and just say, please give me a body, you know, one of the young, handsome body, you know, with muscles on it and everything like that? You didn't buy it. You didn't get the ingredients for it. Where did the ingredients come from? Krishna. And even as mentioned in these verses, it says the body comes from nothing. In one sense, that's actually true. Because in the beginning of the creation, before the creation, there was only something called the pradana, which is an unmanifest state of material energy. And when Krishna looked at the pradana with his glance, he impregnated it, the pradana, and the pradana actually manifested the material energy. So in one sense, it existed, but it was in a, well, I'm trying to think of a simple word, it's called nascent, in a potential state. It was in a potential state, and Krishna's glance is called Shambhu. That's Lord Shiva. It's interesting. Even Krishna's glance is a person. Your glance is not a person. What did they say? If looks could kill. But Krishna can kill with his glance if he wants to. He can yangani, yashara, shakara, dhri, tumanti. So, and anyway, so the body actually comes from nothing. And another thing I thought was quite humorous here, it talks about the dogs eat the body. This actually happens in India. Like, sometimes, forgive me if I'm offending some dog lover here, sometimes a dog licks your nose and everything like that. He's tasting you because he's getting ready, you know, in case you leave his body. It's love. Just like I love my prasadam. And I lick it and I taste it and smell it before you. Anyway, not going to offend too many people here. So there's other arguments here too. Not only, you know, God owns the body, but there's some, especially here in Fiji and in many traditional cultures, the parents claim that they have a right to the child. You know, right to the child's body. And especially here, one thing that I found quite humorous in text 11 talks about how the mother who carried the child within her womb for 9 months, because that's the same argument my mother gave to me to not join the Hare Krishna movement. And I'm sure some of you have heard that argument before too, that I carried you for 9 months. Carry you in my womb, and you should just serve your mother, serve your father. Now, it's interesting also, and we have this whole story about in the Bhagavatam, how the sons of Daksha, let's talk about this, were given that argument by the father. Because Daksha, he is a Prajapati. Prajapati's business is what? To have a lot of babies. He did a good job of it, but anyway. So, first of all, he had 10,000 sons. They were called the Haryashvas. 10,000, pretty good. Because it was his, you know, he's the son of Lord Brahma, it's his duty to populate the universe. You gotta have a lot of living entities. These Prajapatis, some of them had non-human children, like you have Kashyapa, have non-human children, and he had snakes as his children. He had birds as his children. So getting back to the story, Daksha, so he's really enthusiastic. My job, Daksha, the word Daksha means expert. So he's the expert at having children. So he had 10,000 kids, and he told his kids, your business is to actually follow in your father's business, having children. Man, what's your business? What do you do for a living? I have children. It's an interesting business, isn't it? So he told his sons, now I want you to execute austerities so that you can have a lot of children too. And I can have a lot of grandchildren. We were mentioning the other day, that's what grandparents enjoy, right? Little grandchildren. I like children too, they're fun. It's better to be a sannyasi or a grandparent because you don't have to really take care of them 24/7. You get the fun part. And the parents have to do the hard part. Anyway, so he told his sons, execute austerities. There they are executing austerities. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, whatever they were doing, Om, Om, whatever. And along comes a spoiler, Narada Muni. And Narada Muni really says, what are you doing these austerities for? And basically they... Father told us to do it. So Narada Muni really proves to them that their real father is not their blood father. Now, I'm not encouraging you all. You know, this is Fiji, you know, this is be all over for me. I never have any preaching. I get kicked out of the country. It's dangerous. I got to be careful. In America, I could talk like this. Yeah, sure. Like Prabhupada sometimes would say, Ma, referring to mother, means Maya. So he said, he presented to them, you have to understand who your real father is. And they came to the realization their real father is Krishna. So Krishna wants them to, and this is not encouraging everyone to take sannyas. Just don't take it out of context. So then all the boys, they take sannyas. 10,000 sannyas, pretty good. And the father's really upset. I went to all that trouble to have 10,000 boys. And they were convinced that I'm not the father. You know, that was before deprogramming, before he could actually kidnap him or something like that. I actually mentioned the other day that my parents were planning on kidnapping me when I joined the Hare Krishna movement because they thought they had some ownership. And in America, you can actually get something called a conservatorship, which means if you can prove to the court that your child is capable of taking care of themselves, you can actually be their boss legally. Even if they're 25 years. I probably use the same thing here. So anyway, I'm not giving parents any ideas. Any parents. So what happens, they convince them all, they took sannyas. All right, Daksha was upset. And he says, okay, 10,000, let me try again. And then he has 1,000 sons, second batch, 1,000 sons. And he says, okay, I'm your father, remember, I'm your father, you belong to me. And he sends them out, and they're meditating. Same thing happens. He's called the Salashas or something like that. Anyway, he convinces them by the same argument, actually more extensive argument. You can read about this in the Bhagavatam. It's not really just imagination. And he convinces them about the importance of self-realization. And they take sannyas. And Daksha is really upset. went to all that trouble to raise these kids for so many years. Well, of course, the demigods, the kids are actually, when they're born, they're actually full grown. That's the benefit of being a demigod, no babies. Also, Rakshasa, the same thing. It's like the story of the Mahabharata. You know Ghatakaj? When Ghatakaj was born, actually a few minutes after he was born, Bhimsen takes some of his blood and puts it on Ghatakaj and becomes full-grown Rakshasa. So the demigods are the same way. They actually, it's described as no babies, so they can't have fun in this. They don't like crying there. So anyway, so then he thinks, what am I going to do? And so he thinks, well, I'm going to have daughters now. So he has 10 daughters. And he's thinking, they're not going to take something else, which is true. They weren't going to take something else. And then he practically immediately marries them off to different sages. And of course, one of them he marries to Lord Shiva. That's Sati. But you see that he's so determined to enjoy himself and to consider the ownership of his bodily expansions to be his property that he's continually getting angry and lusty in spite of being so expert. Now, there's no problem with being a Prajapati. If you want to be a Prajapati, go for it. But there's many other Prajapatis like Kardama and others who were perfect. They didn't lose control of their anger or anything like that. It's nothing wrong. It's not a bad occupation. But he gets angry at Narada Muni because he's so angry because his desires are not fulfilled. What is that? Jayate Chapum Sam Sango Station, the Jayate Sangatsa, Jayate Kama Kama Kurama. Smriti De Brahma, Smriti Brahma Shad, Nashtabuddhi Pranashati. And he knows that. Bhagavad Gita scholars here. Okay, I'll translate it. That's your assignment to Mark, learning this first. Very important. Jayato Vishyal Punsa. When someone contemplates sense objects, or has some plan, or takes proprietorship or something, or thinks that something belongs to me, then one that gets attached to it, attached to the concept. As soon as a concept or person or thing, just like if someone, okay, let's say someone brings out some ice cream in front of you, and you contemplate it, and you become attached to it, and from attachment comes, nobody knows this first. Kama. What's kama? Lust. You start to salivate. Like any of you who study about Mr. Pavlov and his dogs. Then you... Anyway, you don't know what that is. Kama krodha. Vijayate. Krodha samaha. Smriti brahma. Anyway, you lose your intelligence. And then you lose everything. You actually forget about everything. So Daksha, he gets so angry at Narada Muni, and Narada Muni's a great devotee, so he's committing Vaishnava aparadha, and he curses Narada Muni that you'll not be able to remain in one place anymore. Because Daksha, he's very attached, and he thinks the biggest curse you can give to someone is to curse them not to remain in one place. Isn't it? And actually, Prabhupada said he was cursed to not remain in one place by the parents of his disciples. Prabhupada talks about this story. And he says, because his disciples joined him against his parents' permission, just like the sons of Daksha joined Narada Muni without parents' permission. Prabhupada said his The parents of his disciples cursed him not to remain in one place, and Prabhupada said he was transferring the curse to his disciples, like me. So anyway, I like that curse. It's a nice curse. Because the parents, you have to understand, in America, the parents were really upset with Prabhupada in many cases. There's an interesting story. One time, there were two sons of one mother who joined Prabhupada's movement. Their names were Gargamuni and Brahmananda, famous story. And anyway, the mother came to see Prabhupada. And Prabhupada instructed the kids, offer obeisances to your mother. Okay, everything was nice like that. So then, Prabhupada said to the mother, he said, basically, you know, I'm having to maintain your two sons. Would you like to give a donation to help maintain them? Prabhupada was very bold like that. Can you imagine? You take someone's kids away and you say, give me money back. Prabhupada was so bold. I mean, amazing. And the lady says, I gave you my two sons. How could you ask for money? Prabhupada was so bold. I mean, other times when Prabhupada, let's see, some other instances of Prabhupada being bold. Prabhupada, there's an airport in the United States called O'Hare Airport. So Prabhupada had the devotees go to the managers of the airport and asked them to change the name to O'Hare Krishna Airport. I mean, Prabhupada was not shy, and Prabhupada said some of those really funny things that, I mean, he had no fear of anything. Like one time there was a conversation, and there was a lady, actually I was there at that time, a lady was asking Prabhupada, you know, why do you shave your hair? And Prabhupada said, and the lady had a real short skirt on. And Prabhupada says, it's better to have a cool head and warm legs. So anyway, so Prabhupada was to not remain at home. And also Lord Chaitanya was cursed too, but for a different reason. Lord Chaitanya was cursed to be kicked out of his house because he wouldn't let someone into the kirtan at Srivas Thakur's house. And so he was cursed to get kicked out, and Lord Chaitanya said, oh, thank you for that. So anyway, so Narada Muni was cursed like that. Great offense that Daksha made towards Narada Muni. Of course, Narada Muni can remain in a place if the place is a holy place. In Govardhan, there's this place called Narda Kund, where Narada Muni instructed Kayadu, Hiranyakashipu's wife, and Pallad Maharaj, of course, which was in her womb. And so he remains there, Narda Kund. Very beautiful place near Kushima Sarovara. Anyone's been there? Yeah, no? No? Yeah, you've been there. A few of you have been there. It's Narada Kund. So anyway, so Daksha, he has this anger problem because he's thinking he's the owner and controller. And later on, not only does he curse Narada Muni, but when there's this sacrifice, and he blasphemes Lord Shiva, and there's this whole fight between the followers of Lord Shiva and the Brahmins and everything like that, Daksha gets his head cut off. And then he has to put a goat's head to replace his head. And so he conducts the sacrifice with a goat's head on it. So the reason I'm telling the story is that when one thinks that one is the proprietor, the controller, then one loses their intelligence. You know, this is a demoniac concept which is mentioned by Krishna in the 16th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Ishwaraham, Aham Bhogi, Siroham, Balavan Sukhi. Anyone know that verse? Ishwaroham, I'm the controller. Ishwaroham, Aham Bhogi, I'm the bogey. Just like sometimes amongst the brahmacharis, I don't know if you do that nowadays, but if someone eats too much, you call them a bogey. You don't do that? Like Prabhupada said, someone who has to relieve himself in the bathroom one time a day is a yogi. Someone who relieves himself twice a day is a bogey. And someone who has to go three times is a rogi. A rogi means someone who's sick. So the brahmacharis, I remember the old brahmacharis says to each other, you're bogey. I'm the controller, I'm the proprietor. Aham bogey, I'm the enjoyer. Siddoham, I'm powerful. Like, you know, it's a daksha's thinking like that. Balavan, Sukhi, and I'm happy. That's demoniac consciousness. And the opposite of that is to understand, as Krishna states in the 5th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, excuse me, Bhaktaram Jatavasa. Maheshram, Suranam Sarvabhutanam Gatwaman, Shanti Yogi, he's a bogey and a yogi. He says, I'm the enjoyer, one who understands Bhaktaram, Jagata, of all sacrifices. Sarva Loka Maheshram, the Lord, you know, the controller, Ishwara. Sarva Loka, of all worlds, Maha Ishwara. You understand? Bhaktaram, Jagatabhasam, Sarva Loka Maheshram, Suridam. And also, I'm your well-wisher. So Daksha instead was saying, I'm your well-wisher, my sons. But he wasn't. And even if someone was well-wishing, but they didn't know what is the best thing, then they do the wrong thing. Just like Prabhupada gave the example of one boy who was a well-wisher of his brother, and the brother was sick, and he wasn't supposed to eat fried food, so he thought he would give his brother fried food because his brother was very hungry. And that's not a well-wisher. Well-wisher is someone who finds out or knows what's the best thing for you and does it. And then yatva mam shantim richati. And that way you'll be peaceful. And so Daksha was not peaceful. So as soon as we understand who owns this body, don't take false proprietorship. Whoops. I want to leave time open for questions. Then we'll be peaceful. And how can you be happy without being peaceful? So any questions or comments? Yes, questions, comments, arguments, problems. This is my body. And I will do what I want. Yes, questions, comments, arguments, problems. Yes. Microphone. It's on, you have to speak into it.
My question is also related to the body. So, in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, chapter 10, text 21, it mentions that the human beings, they merge with the Lord and they go into a sleep and
yes.
Until there is a new creation.
Yes. Okay, that's a good question. First of all, we don't really merge. It's like the green birds and the green tree example. That, you know, we little sparks enter into the Lord, but we maintain our individuality. And the soul maintains its desires. And when you come out, the super soul actually reminds you of your past desires too and your past plans. That's why the super soul performs that particular function. But we don't merge, you know, to answer your question, we don't merge, and we do maintain our particular mentality. Although it's not manifest, it's unmanifest. Just like a seed does not manifest a tree until it's watered. Okay, next question. You're about to drown on Wednesday. Yes, that was an interesting story.
All I could think of was I wanted to be saved if I didn't want to die. And I couldn't remember Krishna at all. So now I'm thinking.
So then you become a fish? That's very interesting. And anybody, or anyway, Parameshwara will actually vouch for the fact that I have a habit of saying Hare Krishna all the time whenever there's something happens on the road, right? I've developed this habit, and it drives, if I have someone driving me, it drives them crazy. Because all the time I was like, Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! Especially here in Fiji, it's just, Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! So I do have this habit, and I think it's good. It should become an automatic reflex. You know what a reflex is? Like when you hit your knee, then the foot kicks the doctor in the face. You know, that's that's a reflex. So what I've developed in my own life is an automatic reflex that just like whenever there's danger or a shock or anything, it's just immediately, Krishna! And even if I can't say it, it comes into my mind. So, and that'll help us at the time of death. Because otherwise, you know, at the time of death, you're going to be thinking, Mommy. Or, you know, if you happen to be married, Putty. Right? And your husband will say, Priya. I remember I was with one of my godbrothers who was getting ready to pass away, and his family was around. They weren't devotees. And they were calling him by his, you know, I don't want to say karma name, but, you know, legal name. Oh, Jeffrey, Jeffrey, Jeffrey. And I was looking at the monitor above him. He was in the ICU. And I said, if it flatlines, I'm punching them and getting rid of them. Just standing up. Hare Krishna. You know what flatlining is? That was when someone's dead. And fortunately, he survived. Actually, because he was in a coma. This is an interesting thing. He was in a coma, so I was alone with him. Actually, he had a very dear godbrother, Gopi Purandadana Prabhu, and he passed away in Govinda a number of years ago. But I was with him, and I talked to him while he was in a coma. And I tell him, you have a lot of service to do for Prabhupada. And then I watched the monitor, and it was responding. So I understood that people in a coma can actually hear what you're saying. It's amazing. And I was just talking to someone who was witnessing, this is really bad because doctors do this sometimes, that he was witnessing someone who was in a coma and the doctors were just talking in a nasty way. Oh, this person's going to die soon, you know. You know, and it's really bad because the person could hear in the coma. So anyway, to answer your question, develop the habit, O Krishna. Immediately. I mean, fortunately, I have that habit. Isn't it? Parmeshwar is in New Zealand. Krishna! Hey, Krishna! It's not a comment on your driving. You're a good driver. But I don't do it when I drive. When I drive, I know I'm the controller. No, not really. I also say Krishna. And, okay, does that answer that question? I guess I'm not getting ready to read the duty. So any other questions for you? It's not really loud enough. Yeah. Between our material and spiritual life, that takes some time to determine. Yeah, and also we need advice of senior devotees to understand how to achieve that particular balance. My understanding is that if one has good sadhana and is able to chant their rounds in the morning and read, then automatically one gets a good balance between the two. I mean, in my life, I wake up early every morning, I chant my rounds early. I mean, sometimes I have a few left over in the afternoon. And I try to hear a class at Prabhupada's every day. And it just, the rest of the day, practically no matter what happens, I can be pretty well balanced. Do things. Things don't really upset me too much because I keep a perspective on things. So I think sadhana, whatever else you do, have good sadhana if you can do that. Get a good alarm clock. Do you have one or no? I have a watch that's an alarm clock. It buzzes when I'm supposed to get up, and I get up, and it talks to me. It says, "Get up, you rascal!" So I'm just going to wait. Yes.
Sorry, my whole business is that. My one question: you mentioned about Elon Musk and how some devotees are always, they're asking Krishna for wealth so that they can use it in his service.
Yeah.
Is it a noble mindset to have to always ask for wealth to use for Krishna service? Thinking that assuming that we might not be contaminated by
if one has really is a pure mind and pure intention, Prabhupada wanted money. I mean, he didn't pray to Krishna for money. No, Prabhupada never prayed to Krishna for money. First of all, we shouldn't be so concerned with money. Krishna's the richest person. I don't pray to Krishna for money. I mean, if Krishna wants it, he'll send it. And I was talking to some devotees in Australia about this. When you're raising funds, isn't it, for a temple, don't raise funds for the temple, raise friends. I don't like the idea of fundraising. All the time people ask me, they say, can you raise money for this project, can you raise money for this? I say, no. Can you put a link on your website, but Facebook, for this fundraising program? And I said, no, I don't raise money. I don't raise money. I mean, I want to bring people to Krishna consciousness. And if money comes, it's nice. And if money doesn't come, it's also nice. So yeah, I don't suggest praying for money. It really can contaminate the consciousness. Because then you're really not realizing that Krishna is the husband of the goddess of fortune. And so where there's Krishna, and if you get money without Krishna, then you're like Ravana. You get Lakshmi without Narayan. If you want Sita without Ram, then you get Maya Sita, you get Durga. And Durga has a trident, Adiyadmatari Bodhi. And I need diving. So yeah, I don't really think about money. And if you have it, it's good. If you don't have it, I mean, it's good to have it because you can do things for Krishna. But whatever. whatever. If your anxiety about money is not good. And then devotees get into all these things like, I don't know if you know about this stuff, like Bitcoin and everything like that. You know, investments. I remember in Slovenia, which was actually part of my GBC zone, devotees got, it was about 8 years ago, devotees got into what's called Forex. Forex means basically investing in currencies and hoping the currencies are going to go up. And you can, this is like gambling, actually, basically. You can bet that it's going to go down and make money on the down and buy an option. Anyway, I'm not going to get into all the details. So they all got excited. Wow, there's this one devotee who's made millions of dollars. He says, give me your money and I'll make millions for you. So people mortgaged their apartments. You understand? Borrowed money on their apartments to invest with this guy, and everybody lost it. Literally, there was about 400,000 euros lost between all the devotees because of greed. You know, my experience is when you want something for nothing, it also brings Kali there. So really you have to work. I mean, and when people win the lottery, for example, the lotto, as you say here, it destroys their lives. So, I mean, anyway, for Christian service, I'm not going to deny we want money. But we don't pray for it. We don't put our consciousness on money. I mean, here in Fiji, you can just walk in the street and pick the bananas. Right? I mean, people are just like so addicted to going to the... Last night we were driving by all these stores and they were in the supermarkets and the stores and they were just buying, going crazy to get ready for Christmas, right? And, I mean, I told the devotee the story the other day. That I was in Tabayuni one time, and the plane was late, it was time for my breakfast, it was a Sunday, and all the stores were closed, and the buddy said, we're sorry, we can't give you any prasadam this morning, because all the stores are closed. And I said to the devotees, and these are people who live in a farm place, Tabayuni, I said, what's that tree called? And they said, well, that's called a banana tree. I said, what grows on that tree? Bananas. Can you get one? Yeah. Okay, have another. What's that tree? Papaya tree. What grows on that tree? Papayas. Get a papaya. And then we were in the beach, so there were nuts there, all sorts of nice nuts on the beach and everything like that. And the mango tree and everything like that. I don't think I had coconuts because none of the devotees know how to climb coconut trees here. I know some of the people from the natives know how to climb, but I wouldn't try myself. And so I had a big dinner, a breakfast. I had a big breakfast and I was happy. And I never went to a supermarket. But people are so addicted to this convenience. Like even here in the temple, you have a gardener who takes care of all the things and everything like that. Devotees, I guess they're too sophisticated to pick flowers. In the United States, it's the same thing. You know, sometimes we have a big garden with a lot of flowers, and those flowers all wilt, and the devotees just go and buy the flowers from the flower market. You know, we have to get ready to live very simply. I mean, what would you do if there was no electricity? What would you do? You'd go out and you'd live. You'd be happier. Right? You'd live a natural life. Anyway, so that's mine. So they're not getting ready to read the deities? Oh, they're ready. Okay, you're just waiting for me. I was waiting for you. Okay, thank you very much. All glories to His divine grace, Śrīla Prabhupāda, Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai.